be surprised to learn that the world's most important commodity after oil is coffee. It provides a livelihood for at least 25 million farmers all over the world. Yet a recent look at how climate change might impact primary coffee-growing regions isn't very hopeful. It seems that the future of the bean in these indigenous regions is seriously threatened. Aaron Davis is head of coffee research at Kew Royal Botanic Gardens, and he was the lead author of a recent publication on the consequences of a change in global weather conditions.
Coffee comes from the genus Coffea, and Coffea has 125 species. So we only drink two, Robusta and Arabica, but there are all these other coffee species that could have the potential to produce the next great coffee. The study was focused on Arabica coffee, and Arabica coffee provides us with our speciality coffee, the coffee that we consume in the high street or in homes. So Arabica provides us with about 70% of commercial production, and the focus was on not immediately on plantations, but on indigenous populations in Ethiopia.
It's sort of surprising to me to learn that there are indigenous populations of coffee in Ethiopia still.
Yeah. So the entire natural range of Arabica coffee, i.e. where it grows in the wild, southwestern Ethiopia, southern Ethiopia, and South Sudan, it doesn't occur anywhere else indigenously. And what we're seeing is that climate change is having a different influence in different parts of the world. So you can't just take a model from Ethiopia and apply those findings to elsewhere. You'd have to do a focused study on each specific region. But what you see is that coffee farmers around the world, whether it's Latin America, Asia, or Africa, are suffering the consequences of climate change. So our study on wild populations is supporting what people are finding elsewhere around the world in plantations.
So talk to me about Ethiopia. How in danger are the indigenous plant population there?
So when we ran our models, we did a few types of analysis. If I simplify this, under the best case scenario, we're looking at a 40% reduction across Ethiopia and South Sudan until 2080. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is extinction, 99.7%. But what we've stressed in the paper is that these estimates, these predictions, might be considered as conservative. And that's because we haven't factored in things like deforestation. And we know that the forests of Ethiopia and South Sudan are fragmented and degraded. So in fact, some people are saying that it's even more severe than we might suggest.
Now, when we talk about the effect of climate change on a plant, is it the actual humidity and temperature that affects the plant, or is it the number of days that they're exposed to heat, or the level of rainfall?
It's a mixture of environmental variables. Heat and temperature is one of the main factors. Arabica flowers and produces fruits, i.e. the coffee berries, within a sort of 4-degree range, 4-5-degree range. If you get lots of high temperatures over an extended period, that's very damaging not only to production, but also quality, the taste of the coffee. But also it's the precipitation, the amount of rainfall, when that rain falls, when it doesn't fall. Even if we don't factor in climate change at all, what we do know is that coffee is a very climate-sensitive crop. And part of the fragility of the coffee market and coffee prices is due to weather conditions.
Now, as weather starts to change, I would imagine that there's a difference in disease pathology and the amount of pests that start to trouble the plants.
That's one thing that's very clear, particularly in super-stressed populations, that the incidence of pests and diseases increases and the severity increases. And some sort of almost simulated climate change experiments show that within, you know, a few years, 2 or 3 years, that pests and diseases really start to take hold. And if you look back at the history of coffee cultivation, you know, over the last 300 years, what happened in Southeast Asia is that Arabica was almost eradicated from Southeast Asia because of coffee leaf rust, a fungal disease. The issue is, firstly, you've got this logical conclusion that climate change will be influencing plantations around the world. But if you, again, if you look back at the history of coffee cultivation, what's happened is that the industry has gone back to wild source for resistance, improved quality, improved productivity, to sort of patch up the industry, to sustain it long term. If you lose those wild populations, then you've got nothing to fall back on. And what we know from initial studies is that the diversity in the cultivated plant is extremely low. So that makes it susceptible to pests and diseases.
So it's almost like these wild populations are a living genome or seed bank.
Absolutely. They're the basic resource for the long-term sustainability of the industry. If you look at Geisha, which is a very popular variety for the American market, and it commands the highest price of any coffee, that only came out of Ethiopia in the 1930s. It made its way to Panama by some strange route and got lost there until 2000, was sort of rediscovered in Panama, and then became this fantastic varietal that is much sought after. But it just shows that the potential in somewhere like Ethiopia to produce not only resistant varieties, you know, resistance against diseases, but also great quality, great tasting coffees. We're not trying to scaremonger the public or the scientific community about climate change. What we're trying to do is to assess risk and manage risk. So one of the things we look at in the study is how we're going to preserve those wild populations. And basically there are two threads. For those populations that are under immediate threat of extinction, such as in South Sudan, you'd make those the priority for collecting, putting them into seed banks and into coffee germplasm collections. But I think perhaps more valuable is to look at those populations that would weather climate change at least until the end of the century, and then put your resources into preserving those tough populations that have the potential to as I say, weather climate change for a good time to come.
Well, I have to go get another cup of coffee now.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That was Aaron Davis. He's the head of coffee research at Kew Royal Botanic Gardens. He was the lead author of a recent publication on coffee and the consequences of climate change.